Good morning. Good to see you all. If you are a guest this morning, we are really glad to have you, glad you came and chose to worship with us this morning. If I didn't get a chance to greet you on the way in, make sure you stop and let me get to know you a little bit on the way out, and I have a little gift bag that I'd like to give you at that time, so just say hello on your way out. One of the churches that my dad served in as pastor was out in the western plains of Colorado, a little town called Moffitt. Anyone ever been to Moffitt or heard of Moffitt? A couple? All right. Not much there, but sticks and shrubs and ranchers. But in this little town, Moffitt, there was also one gas station. It was a one gas station town. In fact, it was the only gas station at that time for, I think, 100 miles each direction. So if you needed gas, you better get it there or you're not making it to your destination. Everyone in town knew the owner of the gas station. I can't remember his name for sure. I'm going to call him Charlie because that sounds right to me. But Charlie had been in World War II, and he'd been severely injured. He had a bad leg. And so people in town knew that when they came to get gas, they would just get out and fill themselves up. And this is back in the days when you didn't fill your own car. They came out and filled it for you, remember, washed your windows, checked your oils. Boy, those days are gone. But we in town, we knew that it was a hardship for Charlie to come out. So we get out and we pump our own gas and go and visit with him a little bit and then pay him and head on our way. Well, one particular day, a great big old Cadillac pulled up to one of the pumps, obviously an out-of-towner, and he pulled up and he was used to, when you pull up to the gas station, they come out and do all the things I just talked about. So he sat in his car and waited for the attendant to come out and fill his car. Nobody came out, at least not as fast as he thought they should. So he did stage two. He started honking his horn. Well, what he didn't know was Charlie was getting ready to come out, but when the horn started, he sat back down and put his bum leg back up on his desk. And this guy honked for a while and just sat there and, well, he's kind of stuck because he knew he had to get gas because he didn't want to run out of gas and he wouldn't make it if he didn't. So finally, in utter frustration, he gets out and slams the car door shut and opens it up and pulls the gas cap off and lays it down and grabs everything. Everything was done to let whoever was inside know that he was angry and filled his gas tank up. When he was done, he slammed it back into the pump and walked inside to pay, and he walked up, and there's Charlie in there with his leg up on the desk, and he walks up, and he throws his money onto the desk and mumbles something about the service there and starts heading back to the door and to his car. And about the time he got to the door, Charlie yells all out to him. He says, you mind washing the windows? I wouldn't want this place to get a bad name. True story. You don't mess with those ranchers in those little towns. Well, I tell you that because the title of today's message, if you hadn't noticed, was Fill Her Up. And those are familiar words to some of us of a certain generation when that's what we used to do. We'd pull into the gas station and a guy would come out, or a gal, and we'd say, fill her up. And while they were filling her up, they'd wash our windows and check our oil and make sure everything looked good. And those days are gone. But what I'm really trying to do is to direct us to the last of three words that we've been looking at the last couple of weeks that have to do with the Holy Spirit, because we're in a study of the Holy Spirit right now. I've talked about the fact that the Holy Spirit is probably the most misunderstood person of the Godhead. At least we know the least about him, usually. And so we've been walking through a study trying to get to know more about him. The last couple of weeks we've been looking at some terms that are in the Word of God, tied to the Holy Spirit, and we've been trying to be careful about defining what those terms mean. And here are the terms. We've been looking at the baptism, the indwelling, and the filling of the Holy Spirit. We looked at the first two. If you remember, the baptism of the Holy Spirit we talked about, it happens at the moment you come to understand that you are a sinner, and all of us are. There's not one of us can say, I've never done anything wrong. I've never done anything that would make a holy God unhappy with me. We've all done those things that we know we shouldn't have, and that's sin. And it doesn't matter how many, great or small. The puts us in a position where we are separated from God, who wants to be close to us, wants to know us. And so when you come to that understanding, and you understand that that God loved you so much that he actually sent his son to earth to die for your sin, my sin, so that he could give us a gift. And that gift is forgiveness of all of our sin and adoption into his family and then an eternal home with him. So the day a person makes that decision, the Bible says that we are baptized as a gift from the Holy Spirit. It's not something we do, but we are baptized by the Holy Spirit. And what that means, as we discovered last week, is the Holy Spirit takes us as at that moment, takes us as someone who's just who's in the world and not has doesn't have a relationship with God, and he takes us and he places us into the family of God. He baptizes us in the family of God. Remember, we looked at Moses. Paul used Moses as an illustration, and the people weren't really behind Moses' leadership until God did certain things that put them in a place where they said, Moses, we will follow you. He baptized them into Moses' leadership. When you accept Christ, the Holy Spirit takes you and places you into the body of Christ, the church. At that same moment, after placing you in the body of Christ, then the Holy Spirit comes to indwell us, to live within us. He makes his home in us, and the Bible says he is in us, with us, until the day we step into God's presence. In fact, we looked at one verse that Paul writes and said, he is a seal on our life, a seal that guarantees that we are going to have eternal life, that we are going to stand before God someday, that we are his child, and we're going to spend forever with him. So those two words we looked at, and interesting, I want to go back to baptism. When God places you into the church, a little bit of a sidebar, in this church, in True North Church, you who have been around for a while, you know that people sometimes say, well, what do I need to do to become a member of True North Church? And we don't really have an official membership list. We don't have a class you need to take before you can become a member of this church. And the reason we don't is because of that word and that teaching of baptism. The Bible says that the Holy Spirit placed you into the body of Christ the moment you accepted Christ as your Savior. So we felt like as a church, and this is not for everyone, and I'm not saying churches that do have a membership, like an official membership, are doing it wrong, but we feel like if you have been placed by the Holy Spirit into the church, we really shouldn't add to that. So we have an annual meeting coming up next month in March, and anyone who would like to come, we want you to come. We will have sheets of paper, and on that sheet of paper, we will have an opportunity for you to reaffirm our elders that you think they should still be elders, that they should show a godliness to be in that position. We're going to go over our coming year budget and ask you to vote on that. And who votes on that? Well, the first thing that sheet of paper is going to say is talk about what it means to be a child of God. Have you accepted Christ as your Savior? And if you check, yes, I have, then you're part of this body of believers. And that's what we feel, the way that we feel it should be, and that's the way we do it. So those two terms we looked at, the baptism and the indwelling, the one we left off with last week was the filling of the Holy Spirit. And so that's where I want to go this morning to conclude looking at these words. Turn on your Bibles, if you would, with me. Where we left off last week was Ephesians chapter 5, the book of Ephesians chapter 5, verses 15 through 18. And I want to pick back up right at that spot. Let me just read Ephesians 5, verses 15 through 18. Be very careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise. Interesting, our next message series is going to be titled Wise or Woke, talking about this very thing. What does it mean to be wise in this world, and how is it different from what the world often says is wisdom? What's godly wisdom? So be careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity, because the days are evil. Now here's what I want us to focus on. Do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit. Now, in this verse, there are a number of things that I want us to look at because it gives us, I think, fills in a lot of gaps about this idea, what's involved with being filled with the Spirit, which is what we're talking about this morning. First of all, you notice that he's making a comparison here. He compares being filled with the Spirit to being drunk with wine, or could be a number, you could put your own choice drink in there, alcoholic beverages, could be a number of them, and he makes a comparison between those two. Now, first of all, I want to note that this is not a verse that is speaking about, giving an admonition of abstaining from drinking. That's not what is going on here. You may have a personal conviction about that, and if you do, you should follow that conviction. That's not what this is talking about there at this point, though. What it's bringing up is, and what we all know, is that when it comes to such drinks, such beverages, there is a danger that goes with those beverages. And that danger is that if we're not careful, if we do too much of it, drink too many, that we lose our power of thinking carefully, of making sound judgments. There's a danger that it will overcome our senses, our sensibility, and we'll get out of control, start making poor choices, even dangerous choices. I don't want to show of hands, but some of you have experienced it, I'm sure, personally. I make enough dumb choices on my own without having that add to it. So it's just talking about that. That's an obvious danger. It's not one that I have to convince you of. You know that. I know that. Those Friday nights can lead to some pretty ugly Saturday mornings if we're not careful. So he says, Paul's saying here, so don't let wine or whatever choice drink you want to put in there, don't let that get in a place where it has overcome you. It's controlling you. It's making you stupid. Don't do that. But in comparison, be filled with the Holy Spirit. In other words, let the Holy Spirit be in control of us. That's what's going on. That's that comparison. If anything is going to be in charge of our life, we want it not to be something else. And really, he used a number of illustrations in that passage there. I mean, the controlling drive in my life might not have anything to do with, Friday night drinking. It could have everything to do with a certain title or choice of level of income I want to be in. And so everything about my life is driven by that. And I think Paul would say the same thing. Don't let that become the controlling factor of your life. Let the Holy Spirit control your life. Or it could be, you love someone and you love them so much that everything in your life is about that. Maybe it's somebody you want to love you and you're not sure they do. So every morning as you get ready to go out and you're going to see them, is controlled by doing and looking and acting in a way that will make them love you back. Or maybe they do love you back, but your life is controlled by, I want to make sure they're pleased. And Paul would say, there's nothing wrong with loving someone, but don't let that control you. If you're going to be controlled by anything, be controlled by the Spirit. That's the comparison that is going on. What I ask of myself in a daily basis is, Lord, are you in control of my life, or am I in control of my life? A number of years ago, there was a little tool that was made. It's called Four Spiritual Laws. Some of you may have seen it. You may have used it. You may have come to Christ by way of it. They had a couple of illustrations, picture illustrations in that book that really did a good job of illustrating what we're talking about here when we talk about the filling of the Holy Spirit. Here's one of the ones that was in the illustration. And as you're looking at that, you see that big S, and that circle is your circle of a person's life. And this particular circle, they have accepted Christ as their Savior. Christ is in their life. The Holy Spirit lives within them. I probably, if I had done the diagram, I probably would have put an H there. But the Holy Spirit is called the Spirit of Christ. So Christ is in their life. But if you notice, who's on the throne of the life? self. So that's a picture of an individual who, yes, they're a believer, but at least in this instance, they're still in control. They're making their own decisions. They're chasing after the things that they desire and not so much what God might desire. The next illustration then is a person who, again, has Christ in his life, but notice that the Holy Spirit is on the throne. God the Spirit is on the throne. And so all desires, wants, judgments, directions are focused around that of the what God, what do you want me to do? What will please you? Every desire, direction, goal, need, decision is sourced out of what would please God. That's what it means to be filled by the Spirit. So back to Ephesians 4, be careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity because the days are evil. Do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit. Another thing that I want you to note in this verse is it is making this decision, this being filled by the Spirit. Remember, with baptism and with indwelling, those were not choices we made. Those were gifts that God bestowed upon us at the moment we accepted Christ, that went along with the gift of forgiveness that God gave us at that moment. You accepted Christ, you were placed in the body of Christ, the church, and the Holy Spirit came to live within you. You didn't do anything to earn that. They simply were given to you at that moment of salvation. But this is different. The filling of the Spirit, if you notice, is in comparison again to how many drinks I'm going to have, is a choice that I need to make, that I have to make on a given day. It's a decision on my part of whether I'm going to allow God to be in control or I'm going to be in control myself. And it's a daily choice that we each have to make. In fact, it might be an hourly choice in many respects. I have to decide on a daily basis whether I'm going to allow the Holy Spirit, God's Spirit, to be on the throne of my life, or whether I'm going to be on my throne of my life, or something else that I'm chasing after. That's my decision. That's your decision. And it's a decision you make every day, all day long. So, that's first. We could look at some other things, but I'm going to stop there for a moment. Here's the question that comes to my mind, though. Okay, Paul, that's all fine and good, but how do I know? You know, I can say the words, Lord, and I do. Honestly, first thing I say when in my conversation with God in the morning is, Lord, I want you to be in control of my life. I want to be godly today. I will tell you, it doesn't mean that lasts all day for me. Sometimes later on in the day, I have to say it again. So how do I know? That's the question is, how can I tell if I really am, Paul, living under the control of the Holy Spirit? I've allowed the Holy Spirit to fill my life, to be in charge of my life. Well, go over with me. I want to answer that question. Let's go over to the book of Galatians, just one book towards the front. Galatians chapter 5. And I want to look at a number of verses there. We won't look at all the verses, but we'll be looking at the area, verses 16 through 26. And starting with verse 16, Galatians chapter 5, verse 16, Paul writes, "So I say, live by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the sinful nature." Paul says, live by the Spirit. Back in Ephesians, he said it this way, be filled with the Spirit. Same thing. That's what we're talking about. Being filled with the Spirit is a person who is living under the control of the Holy Spirit. They are allowing God the Spirit to direct their lives. Both places he's saying the same thing, just using different terminology. So, again, the question, how do I know if I'm allowing the Spirit to be in control of my life? How do I know if I've taken over the reins or God has the reins of my life? Jump down to verse 19. Paul says in verse 19, the acts of the sinful nature are obvious. Let me read this another way. The signs that I'm in control of my own life, that's what that means, are obvious. Let's stop there for a moment. Paul says This is not difficult, folks. This is not rocket science here we're talking about here. It's not hard for me to tell who's in control of Paul Kennedy's life. It's pretty easy to figure out if it's me or if it's God. Because if I'm in control, the reality is my sinful nature, my worldly desires, my carnal self, we talked about that word last week, it's running the show. And there's all kinds of ways to decipher if it is running the show or not, or God's running the show. Well, how? Okay, so there's ways, you said. What are the ways? Well, in chapter 5, Galatians chapter 5, let me read. He follows that up, starting with verse 19. I'm not going to put it on the slide, but just follow along. Starting with verse 19, the acts of the sinful nature are obvious. They're obvious. Sexual immorality, impurity, debauchery, idolatry, witchcraft. Okay, let's stop the list there. That's a good place to stop because I'm pretty good with those. So we'll just end it there and go home, and all of us can say, I'm in good shape. If only Paul had done that. Goes on. Hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissension, factions, envy, drunkenness, orgies. And just in case he didn't list something that you're saying, missed that one, and the like, anything like these things, he says, that's exactly how you can tell if you have taken the control, if you're on the throne of your own life, if I'm on the throne of my own life. These are the things that will show up because they're natural within me. As an individual, when the sin nature is in control. But, you know, some of these things are so commonplace to us, especially that last part of that list, that they've kind of lost their power to bug us, you know? Jealousy is such a normal thing. Envy is such a normal thing. Everybody gets mad once in a while. You know, they're just so normal that it's kind of easy to kind of skip past it. So maybe the better question then is to say, okay, well, let's look at the other side of the coin. Then how do I tell, back to that question, how do I tell if the Holy Spirit is in control of my life, if I am filled by the Spirit? Jump back up to verse 22. But the fruit of the Spirit is, and let's stop there for a moment again. And notice, we're going to look at in just a moment this next list. But I want us to catch this. This is not a list that God is giving that we can put up on our refrigerator and say, these are the things I need to be working on. You know, we've all been warned, haven't we? You just don't pray for patience. You don't want to do that because the answer to that prayer might be a little tough. But that's not what he's even saying here. It's not like, okay, Tuesday's patience day, I'm going to work on that one on that day. You know, Wednesday's love, Lord. No, that's not what is going on here. It's very important to catch this. It's not that kind of a list. What we're being told is, if I'm under the control of God's Spirit in my life, then these are simply the fruit of that Spirit-controlled life. This is just the evidence. It shows up naturally, you know. I don't have to work on it. If my desire of my heart is, God, I want you to be pleased, and I am going to live in obedience and in accordance with your will, these are just the natural outcome of a Spirit-controlled life, of someone who is filled with the Spirit. So how do I tell? Well, one way you can tell is, how did you react this morning when you were ready to go and your wife or your husband wasn't? Was it, oh, that's fine, honey, we'll be fine, you know. We may not get a donut, but we'll be okay, we'll be there. Or was it, this is every week, you know, every week it's the same thing. It's pretty easy to tell. Or how did you react to that guy that uh, that doesn't understand roundabouts. And they didn't. You were in the circle. They're supposed to let you go. What's wrong with them? You know, you could go through the list. You all know, at least a lot of you know, we have a new baby in our house, a puppy in our house. I'm too old to have a puppy in my house. If my wife had her will, we'd have puppies everywhere because she loves animals in period. And so we had a discussion when we were heading down this path, and it kind of went along this way. Well, you know, I'm not going to be much help with this puppy right now. I'm not real good with stairs and it's like, I know. And so we made an agreement, and I said, okay, well, we'll get a puppy. But, you know, sometimes I'm just the one that's up when that puppy needs to go out, you know. And lately, these mornings have not been good go-out mornings. And I'll go out there, and I stepped out that door having just had this conversation with God. God, I want you to be in control. I want to be godly today. And in that instance, that little puppy can cause me to not lose my salvation, but definitely put myself back up on the throne, because he doesn't want to be out in the cold, and I don't want to be out in the cold, and he won't do what he's supposed to do. I set him down, and he runs the steps. He can't get up the steps, but he runs the steps, and I'll bring him back out. He runs the steps, and I'm like, oh, geez, you. How do I tell? Well, when God the Spirit is in control of my life, love, joy, peace, patience, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control are exactly what people see in my life. And not because I'm working on them, but because I've allowed God to be in charge of my life. These are the natural fruit of a life that is under the control of God's Spirit. So it's not a hard test, not hard to figure out. And honestly, as I've told you, I can go in and out of that on a daily basis. And this is the one of those three words that I have to make a decision on. I have to decide who's going to be in control. You do too. Happens all day long. And I catch myself often having reactions that are in that other list. And as soon as I see that show up, I know, okay, God's not in control of Paul Kennedy right now. God, I want you in control. Be very careful then how you live, not as the unwise, but as the wise, making the most of every opportunity because the days are evil. Do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit. Let's pray. Thank you, Father, for another glimpse into our own hearts. Thank you for making this so clear in your word. And Father, I want you to be in control. I want to be godly. I also am very aware of how quickly I take the reins back, how often I place myself back on the throne. But thank you for spelling out for us how it looks when I'm on the throne. The things that that show up that shouldn't be there, how easy it is to decipher that I'm back running the show instead of letting you be in charge. Lord, I want you to be in charge. I want to be filled by your Holy Spirit. Thank you that you live within me this very moment. All it takes is my desire to allow you to be on the throne. And that's the case for each one of us who knows you as their Savior. And Father, if there's anyone here that doesn't, that never has understood how much you love them, that you actually want them to be your child. You want to spend forever with them. I pray that today they will ask you to give them that gift of forgiveness and accept them into their life, knowing that they are now your child and they will spend forever with you. Thanks for you for that precious good news, as you call it in your word. We pray these things in your Son's name. Amen.
Well, church, before we leave, let's stand and sing one last chorus together. You're the name above all names, and you are worthy of all praise. And my heart will sing, how great is our God.
Name above all.
Yes, you're the name above all. You are worthy of all praise, and my heart will sing, how great is our God.
We'll close with this. How great is our God?
How great is our God? Sing with me, how great is our God, and oh, we'll see how great is our God.
And church, as we close, I know our prayer team is.